Thank you, and thank you all for coming so bright and early. So I'm Aisha Langford, and I don't know this man here, but our project was Men on the Move, promoting physical activity and improving health among African American men. So just to begin, I don't have any disclosures or conflicts of interest to share. So to give you a little bit of background about our project, as many of you may or may not know, physical activity plays a very important role in the development of chronic disease, and in particular cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. We know that on average, men in general exercise more than women, but only about half of African American men report leisure time physical activity. And not surprisingly, rates of physical activity over time and with age often decline. Mainly, well, for a lot of different reasons, but some of the social and cultural pressures due to work and family and community obligations. And we also know, as many of you who are here, that there's very few research projects and research being done specifically on African American men as it relates to physical activity. So how did our project come about? So we have the University of Michigan Comprehensive Cancer Center, in partnership with some of our colleagues at the School of Public Health, have been hosting men's fellowship breakfast for about 4 years now. And at one of our breakfasts, we focused on obesity, physical activity, and nutrition. And if you recognize, you might recognize that man to the far right, that's Derek Griffith. And at that particular men's breakfast, we talked about guys getting more active, and the person in the middle, his name is Giandi, and he's a personal trainer. And one of the guys in the audience stood up and said, "This is all great, but we don't know any personal trainers, and exercising is really expensive, and you know, gym membership could be $40 or $50. Can you guys do something? Because there's really not enough resource here in the community." So, being responsive, we actually came together, Derek's center at the time, the Center on Men's Health Disparities, the Cancer Center, and some local trainers. We came together and we brainstormed ways that we can design a project or go for grant funding. And we kind of played around with a few different options, and we asked the University of Michigan Comprehensive Cancer Center for $30,000 to do a pilot project, and they funded it to create the Men on the Move. So the goals of the project really were to increase access to age-appropriate physical activity opportunities, and that was including but not limited to workshops in the community, exercise classes, access to personal trainers, and access to ways that people could exercise on their own without necessarily having to go to a gym or spend a lot of money on equipment. And we also wanted to facilitate social support for male peers. So we know from some of our past work that some men are really well connected and have good support groups, but some guys actually don't kind of hang out with other men, don't really have a good social support network that would really foster and encourage physical activity. So we thought if we could bring men together in groups and kind of create a sense of community and fellowship, that they might actually start working out together and increase their physical activity. So the program components were really, we used a small group model. So we had 6 groups throughout the course of the project, and the groups were comprised of 5 to 10 men. All of the groups met once a week with a certified personal trainer, and all of the personal trainers were local, and they met with a personal trainer in groups for 10 weeks. So when we started working with the personal trainers to develop the idea for this project, one of the things that they said was, "We don't want you to script us. We don't want some kind of cookie cutter model," which a lot of physical activity programs that exist are administered through various organizations. It's kind of a very strict model. And so they said, "We want some flexibility." So we said, "Okay, but if we do that, there are certain things that we want you to address in every session." So one of the things that we wanted them to address were barriers to physical activity. So what do you do if you don't have $50 a month? What can you do at home? What kind of exercises, like push-ups or, you know, using a balance ball? What kind of things are very low cost that you can do on your own? We also wanted all of the trainers to incorporate some aspect of flexibility, strength, balance, and conditioning into each session. So again, all the trainers were slightly different, but these were components that we wanted to be in every single session. And then we also wanted to highlight some of the community resources. So many of the trainers actually teach classes for free. They do workshops. And we also wanted to share with the men resources in the community, like the rec center, like the community centers that do actually have resources that they may or may not know about. So at every session, we highlighted different resources, free and low-cost resources in their community. So for recruitment and eligibility, our requirements were that they had to be African American, at least age 35, and residing in Southeast Michigan. The majority of the men who were in our project actually lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is where University of Michigan is, or in the city right next to U of M, which is Ypsilanti, Michigan. Most of the men were recruited through the men's fellowship breakfast series that I alluded to earlier. We do the men's breakfast about 3 times a year. We usually have between 100 and 150 men, and the topics rotate. So over time, we've actually created a pretty strong following. So a lot of the men who come to the breakfast actually participated in the pilot project. And we had 41 men enroll, and the average age was 54. And this is actually a picture of one of the participants at our kickoff event. So once we had everyone kind of enrolled, we had a kickoff event at a local hotel. We had the men do a survey, and we also had our M-Healthy nurses do some kind of a different screening test. So we had height and weight and blood pressure, cholesterol, and glucose at the kickoff event. So just a brief snapshot of the sample. Most of the men were married, employed, and college graduates. Most of the guys actually had been diagnosed with at least one chronic health condition, and the most common health condition was hypertension. And more than 60% were obese, so we had some extra room on the bellies there. And about 70% had a waist circumference of 60 inches or more. So our results, we were really excited to find that improvements were detected for several outcomes, including perceived self-efficacy to sustain physical activity. And that was important to us because we knew doing a project once a week, you know, you're not going to have, you know, major differences in the group, but we wanted to give people some confidence and some skills and some knowledge to continue physical activity on their own. So we kind of looked at this as like a catalyst for ongoing movement. We also saw increases in intensity of physical activity, as well as overall self-reported health status, self-reported stress level, and the physical activity minutes per week also increased. We were also excited that roughly 68% of the guys met the recommendations of 150 minutes of physical activity per week by the end of the project, and this is compared with, at baseline, only about 40% of men reported meeting 150 minutes per week. About 90% of the guys used the additional resources that we provided, and those were resources, as I mentioned, outside of the weekly sessions. So those were things like local workshops, local classes, local walking groups, using some of the low-cost gyms in the area. And about 75% of the guys actually contacted one of the guys in their group over the course of the project. And that was exciting to us because, again, we were trying to create a sense of community and fellowship. And the number one reason that the men reported that they contacted someone else was to set up time to work out together outside of the weekly sessions. So the overall feedback was that the men were really excited to be doing this project. They all said, or most of them said, that their motivation to be more active increased and that they felt healthier and stronger overall. And this is a quote from one of our participants. On the left is Mr. Avery, and on the right is one of the personal trainers that was in our project. That's Mark Harris. And basically said, "I didn't have a real interest in exercising until I did this Men on the Move project. Working out once a week encouraged me to work out even more." So this is also a picture of some of the men who were in our project. Some of the guys go to a local church that we work with through a program called Body and Soul, and a few of the men are just members of the community. And so our main conclusion was that doing this kind of model does show some initial promise that this type of intervention, small groups with trainers, actually works. Our biggest limitation was intensity. So as I mentioned earlier, the guys only met with men once a week with a personal trainer. So once a week is better than nothing, but moving forward, we might want to consider doing something a little bit more intense. And as you all know, more research is needed to better understand what motivates African-American men to be more physically active. But the guys in our project really were excited about being in Men on the Move, and they continue to ask me when Derek is coming back so we can do part two. So Derek is now at Vanderbilt, so we can't fly down to Tennessee, but we're hoping and thinking about ways that we can engage and provide additional resources to the community moving forward. I would like to give special thanks to the participants in our program, also to the personal trainers who really stuck with us and gave us a lot of good ideas, and the assistance of Patricia Thomas, who is here in the audience. Patricia served as one of our project coordinators, and Giandi Hill, who cannot be here today, but he was very helpful. And last but not least, I'd like to thank the University of Michigan Comprehensive Cancer Center for giving us $30,000 to actually fund this project and pay the trainers and the nurses. Thank you.
We have a couple minutes before the next presentation, so we can take two to three questions.
Oh, I said ideally, I could do a part two. So I do community outreach for the Cancer Center, so I see these guys all the time, and we still do our men's fellowship breakfast, and they keep asking, you know, when we're going to do the project again. So we don't have a project planned out specifically, but we're always having our eyes and ears open. I would love to work with the trainers again, maybe work with a new group of guys to do something. But, you know, as you know, it takes time and money, and I'm working on my dissertation right now, so I can't promise anything within the next, like, 10 months. But we are looking to see if we can do something because they keep asking. And I think there really is a lack of opportunities for guys really to work out together in our area. Yes. So we haven't done any formal follow-up in terms of like a survey or assessment. As I said, I see a lot of the guys at our men's breakfast that is ongoing. It's every 3 to 4 months. Some of the guys have continued working out together, and one of the trainers, where is it? If I can go back. Mark Harris, even before we started doing Men on the Move, he actually runs a men's walking group every Saturday morning, and that continues. So a lot of guys who were in our project actually walk with Mark's group on Saturday, and it's a free group, and they do, you know, jumping jacks and exercises. So there are still some guys who kind of kept up with it and managed to be connected with some of the trainers outside, but we haven't done any more formal follow-up. Yes. Actually, no, there was I don't have that specific breakout. Some of the guys were retired, but many of them were working men. And so the average age was 54. And we tried to design the groups to accommodate people who were working and also folks who were available during the day. So most of the sessions were actually in the evening, like from, like, say, 7 to 8:30. We did have a Saturday morning group, and then we did have one group that met on Mondays during the day for folks who may have a more flexible schedule but want to meet during the day. Okay.
Thank you again for your presentation.